Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon, I'm Chua Tian Tian with your Market View. Now today, we are going to be looking at the private equity and venture capital investing scene in Southeast Asia. Now, PE activity in the region, for one, has rebounded from the lows of 2020 to record growth in deal count. Now, the area led growth in the APEC sector with an 81% year-on-year improvement. And in terms of deal value growth, Southeast Asia was only behind Japan at 143% growth year-on-year. And market watchers say the private capital scene is getting even better with supportive government grants and a healthy inflow of global capital. But where are venture capitalists putting their money on in the meantime? Well, for more, I'm joined by Jennifer Ho, partner of venture capital fund manager, Integra Partners. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Tian Tian. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Jennifer. To get us started, maybe share with us very briefly, what do Integra Partners do?
Sure. So Integra Partners is a venture capital fund manager. We invest in tech companies driving access and affordability to responsible financial services and healthcare in Southeast Asia. So we typically look at early stage companies, so companies in the Series C, Series A, Series B range, and we focus on two sectors in particular, which are financial services and healthcare. So we like to say that we take a multidisciplinary approach to the two sectors that we focus on, which is really just a very complicated way of saying that we believe that there are lots of ways in which financial services can help drive access and affordability in healthcare, and lots of ways in which physical health, mental health, and financial health are interlinked.
And just before we deep dive into those investment areas that you're looking at, the PE scene, private equity scene in Southeast Asia saw really strong growth last year. 81% growth in terms of deal count and 143% growth in terms of deal value. As a VC investor, what are the drivers behind those numbers we saw last year?
Yeah, so I think that's a really good question. You know, I think it comes from a couple of factors. The first is liquidity in the market driven by COVID monetary policy really did drive investors to increase their allocation to alternative assets in general, right? Whether that's PE or VC. But more importantly, you know, as a VC person, when it comes to startups and VC, I think it's also a reflection of the maturing landscape in Southeast Asia. So more seasoned founders, stronger operators, and the fact that COVID really was a catalyst for forcing kind of a long tail of consumers in Southeast Asia to become digitally fluent for the first time. So, you know, when we in VC used to think about addressable markets in the past, we would think about it in terms of the big metros of Southeast Asia, right? So Manila, Ho Chi Minh City, Hanoi, Jakarta. But today, I think it's really all 440 million grown-ups in Southeast Asia. And, you know, I think lastly, you can't ignore the fact that there are policy risks and, you know, a changing environment in China. And of course, we all know that China has been the hot destination for technology over the last decade. But, you know, the fact that China is changing and, you know, with regulatory crackdowns and stuff like that, that did drive a lot of investors to start diversifying, which meant that they were allocating to other emerging markets in Asia. And Southeast Asia was a beneficiary of that.
Some market observers, they were saying that, Jennifer, global PE scene is moderating from last year. We are seeing fewer private equity exits. I would assume that venture capitalists are not cashing out as much. Do you agree with that? And how attractive is Southeast Asia right now for venture capitalists?
Sure. So, you know, I do think that the data does reflect that, right? If you just kind of look at what is being published publicly. But again, speaking from a VC perspective, I do think it's healthy in a way. I don't think it's necessarily good for the VC ecosystem if companies achieve big exits and then underperform in the public markets, you know, because that seemed to be happening a lot more in recent years. But ultimately, when you talk about, you know, whether it's VC or growth equity or PE or the public markets, we're all part of a larger financial ecosystem. And so you want to work, like all of them to work in concert. And I don't want to comment on PE in general, but, you know, I will say this to your second question about whether or not PE firms are an attractive investment in Southeast Asia right now. I will say that, you know, the data shows that PE and VC funds that are raised in downturn years tend to outperform in terms of returns. And companies that are starting out in crisis years, if they learn how to survive and operate through the lean times, usually end up much stronger. So I guess it really depends on whether you believe this is a crisis or a downturn year for the markets in general.
So for VC investors, would it be right to say that now is really not so much of the time to exit, but now is the time to sort of enter into those markets and to actively invest in those startups, private equity firms, to see them grow through the crisis? Would it be right to understand it that way?
Yeah, I would say so. I think, you know, this has probably been one of the better years in terms of a deal flow environment for us, especially at the early stage. You know, I think valuations are becoming a little bit more reasonable. I would also say that we've been tracking some companies for a very long time where we believe that, you know, founders were really strong, addressable markets were really interesting, but valuations were maybe a little bit higher than we would have liked to see. And now we're restarting those conversations with companies because the markets themselves have, you know, calmed down a little in terms of valuations.
If you're just tuning in, we're now speaking to Jennifer Ho, partner of Integra Partners. Now, and Jennifer, let's turn to look at what Integra Partners is doing. And I understand your company is very much into investing in fintech and health tech. So let's start with fintech. What are the opportunities you see in the fintech scene here in Southeast Asia?
Yeah, great question. And I could go on forever about this. I think right now, the underlying macroeconomic theme that we continue to be very excited about is the growing digital fluency of the long tail of Southeast Asian consumers. So, you know, when you have a huge number of people who already use social media or who have already bought something online before, then it's a lot easier to convince them to also adopt a financial service or a healthcare service for that matter online. And remember that, you know, one of our core theses is that tech creates operating leverage, by which we mean that the ability for technology to deliver a financial healthcare service online and make it exponentially cheaper creates huge opportunities for financial and healthcare inclusion. In terms of specifically in fintech, you know, I think we think about the sector both in terms of direct as well as transformational impact. So in transformational opportunities, we think about using technology to improve the infrastructure that underlies financial services so that eventually the cost of delivering those services become a lot cheaper. So, you know, things like open banking, you know, where, you know, one of our examples is a company called Brancus, which we invested in quite a while ago, but it helps build APIs that helps banks to more easily partner with technology companies to deliver financial services to their customers. They just raised a $20 million Series B last year. We're very excited about that. In direct impact, it would be things like agency banking, you know, where you build a direct relationship with a consumer and enable people to then deliver those financial services to huge amounts of people in rural parts of the region.
And I do want to touch on health tech as well, a very interesting up and coming area. Which aspects of digital health are you looking at in Southeast Asia for the moment?
I think what health tech and digital health means in Southeast Asia has changed a lot over time. Back when we were looking at health tech a very long time ago, say 2016, 2017, we were really looking at the digitization of physical processes. So, you know, things like appointment booking systems or online medical advice websites and stuff like that. Today, I think, you know, through COVID, we've now moved on to telemedicine and, you know, digital delivery of healthcare services. And now it's about using the data generated in those two first phases of health tech to then drive things like prevention and personalization of healthcare. So things like chronic disease management or digital therapeutics or genetic screening. And the fact that they're all now happening at the same time just makes this a really exciting time to be investing in health tech in general.
Would you happen to have, just for the sake of our listeners, would you happen to have an example of one of such company that you have invested in or one of the such company that you're looking to invest in the future?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we last year invested in a company called Naluri. They work with employers to help their workforce to manage chronic disease conditions like diabetes and mental health. And if you consider the fact that, you know, 80% of the annual increases in healthcare costs really come from like usually the 20 or 30% of employees in a particular company who suffer from chronic diseases like diabetes, then, you know, if you find a solution to help these people, you're really having a much more outsized impact on healthcare affordability in general. And incidentally, Naluri is actually also a really good example of a company that is at the intersection between financial services and healthcare. And people will ask, you know, why is diabetes management something that is also a financial services issue? But if you think about it, you know, if you're a diabetic and the most important thing that you can do for your health is to stick to eating healthy or to exercise more regularly, then the more important question is, you know, what are the things that happen in life that call you that cause you to fall off the bandwagon, right, when it comes to a healthy lifestyle? And it's typically stress. So things like relationship stress or work stress or financial stress. So if you want to help a patient stick to a healthy lifestyle, you also need to give them the tools and the support to manage work stress better and manage financial stress better. And so that's a really good example of a company that kind of fits both our thesis, really.
So would it be right to understand that the services are also provided digitally as well in the digital health sector?
Yes, that's right. So Naliri built an app that kind of takes you through both. There's a journaling aspect that helps you kind of manage your diet. There's kind of digital coaching with coaches that kind of helps you, you know, talk through issues. They actually, because are able to use technology to bring a whole suite of experts online to kind of help you manage your issues. So as a user, you're assigned a team that includes a psychologist, a dietitian, a nutritionist, a financial wellness planner, you know, executive coach, and all of these people are able to deliver their services digitally, which also then makes them much more affordable and helps them scale their services across a much larger number of people.
And Jennifer, I want to congratulate you and your company as well. Norfund, our Norwegian investment fund for developing countries, is committing $8 million to your second venture capital fund. How do you intend to use the money? Where, what types of companies are you going to be investing in?
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, it's great. We're very excited. And, you know, I think it makes us really proud that we're getting validation from these developmental financial institutions like Norfund. We also count the U.S. Development Finance Corporation, or DFC, and DEG, which is the German equivalent, as investors. So it's truly, I think, a privilege to be working with investors like them because, you know, they tend to offer us support not just in terms of capital, but lots of different kinds of help, right? So helping us measure the impact of our portfolio companies in a more quantitative way, or helping them access things like grants so that we can kind of expand and accelerate the product roadmaps of the companies that we work with. But to your question, all of these capital commitments go into our second venture capital fund. And, you know, as I mentioned previously, the aim of the fund is really to invest in early stage companies and financial services and healthcare that are doing things in a responsible way and using technology to drive access and affordability.
And very quickly, one last question, Jennifer. Will Integra Partners continue to be focused on financial service and healthcare for the moment? Or are there any other plans to enter other sectors in the near term, say, next 3 to 5 years? Why or why not?
Sure. So I think in the meantime, there's plenty for us to do in just those two sectors. And I also think that those are the sectors that are going to be really interesting in Southeast Asia for the next years. As for the future, you know, I think that we will continue to raise capacity-constrained products, by which I mean kind of manageable fund sizes where we make a series of concentrated bets in founders where we can then invest the resources and time to kind of get to know them and support them and help them grow their companies. I do think that we will always continue to be sector focused because that's the differentiation that we bring to the market. But I would also end by saying that financial services is a sector that touches a broad swath of the economy, right? Whether it's healthcare or something else. So, you know, who knows what happens in 3 to 5 years?
Certainly. Thank you very much, Jennifer. And that was Jennifer Ho, partner of Integra Partners.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.